Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon on this Reformation 500th anniversary comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was 500 years ago, or should I say 499 years and 363 days ago, that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses against the sale of indulgences to the front door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. He did this in order to spark a discussion among the church's leading theologians regarding the practice of the sale of indulgences, or pieces of paper granting the forgiveness of sins. Luther wasn't quite at the point of saying that we are saved by grace alone through faith alone, but he was starting to get close. In fact, it was the question of how we are saved that kept Luther up late at night, questioning whether he was doing enough to earn God's favor. Was he really saved? The Catholic Church had so muddied the water with regard to this question that Luther could never really be certain that anything he did was good enough, not at least until he was in heaven standing before the judgment seat of God, waiting for the verdict. Luther, of course, would go on to turn this on its head. Up until this time, Catholic monastic way focused on individual effort to live up to a greater power. Luther flipped it around such that the believer is now in a purely passive position, receiving God's gifts and blessings without doing anything to earn them. Now today, we are actually facing a similar crisis of faith as we look at the world around us, which has moved away from faith in God to forgive our sins and grant us eternal life for the sake of the all-atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross, to turn to other matters. The world around us is so wrapped up in this world that they have lost sight of the next. And unfortunately, this leaves the bodily resurrection, both the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the future resurrection of ourselves, entirely out of the picture. And in fact, this phenomenon of ignoring or rejecting the resurrection is not confined just to those outside the church. Even some Christians and even some Christian leaders have publicly stated that they do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. So why are there so many people, including so-called Christians, who reject the concept of a resurrection? I suppose it's fairly easy to break down how this comes about. After all, for many people, the resurrection just doesn't make sense. After all, we look at the world around us and we don't see people coming back from the dead. It hasn't happened today, it didn't happen yesterday, it hasn't happened for a couple of millennia. So, of course, if it hasn't happened in my sight, why should it happen outside my sight? And the scientific method itself states that for something to be provable or for something to be factual, it must be repeatable. Jesus' resurrection is not empirically provable because it cannot be or has not been repeated. Or then, even if Jesus did rise from the dead, people ask, where is he? Why isn't Jesus still walking around today? So often the conversation returns to Jesus is still dead, his body just hasn't been found. Or perhaps for some churches or some people, other things get to be more important. Last week we talked about how so many other things vie for importance against our faith, and perhaps the so-called Christian group rallies around something else instead of the resurrection because they disbelieve in it. But what happens when you attempt to be Christian without faith in Jesus' resurrection? Paul gives us the answer in our reading from 1 Corinthians. Listen to the logical progression that Paul lays out that I read before. I'll read it again. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. The logic is ironclad. There is no arguing this. The logic he uses is no different than what his hearers would have heard in any school of Aristotle. If there is no resurrection, then Christ has not been resurrected. It's logical, right? If Christ has not been resurrected, then our preaching of the resurrection is false. Also a logical conclusion from there. If our preaching of the resurrection is false, then we are false teachers, another logical conclusion. And if we are false teachers, then those who have believed our message are goners. Logical. So in other words, without the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, what are we even doing here today? Without the resurrection, nothing else we believe matters because the whole point of our faith is that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us and rose again to promise us new life. If there is no resurrection of the dead, you may as well sleep in on Sunday mornings instead of coming here at 9 or 10 a.m. If there's no resurrection of the dead, I may as well go get a real job, since I've apparently been preaching falsehoods, because if the resurrection never happened, then my preaching of the resurrection has been false. And in fact, we may as well just close up shop, shutter our doors, find something else to do with our time, if there is no resurrection. The resurrection is that important to the church. Without Jesus' resurrection from the dead, in fact, we would have no church. And that is why Paul throws in the kicker right after what I just read in verse 20. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. After hearing about just how terrible it would be to learn that the resurrection never happened, feel the cool comfort of this message again. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We don't need to worry about our salvation or our future resurrection. Christ has been raised. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, we can also be certain that we will rise from the dead too. Our faith in the resurrection, our faith in Christ is secure. But how can we trust this assertion that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead? As to his death, there's no question. The professional Roman soldiers who were responsible for his execution were intimately acquainted with death. They knew he was dead. When he was stabbed through the heart with a spear, his blood had already separated, which only happens when you are dead. And then again, as to the resurrection, Paul indicated in last week's reading that there was clear, uncontroversial, compelling evidence that Jesus had risen from the dead. He appeared to his apostles, first to Peter, then to James, the 12, the 500 disciples, Paul himself. Jesus appeared to so many more, his body was never found, and many of those who had been witnesses of the resurrection were still there at this time to say, yes, it happened. The tomb where Jesus was laid was not a secret. People knew exactly where it was. If the women had somehow found themselves at the wrong tomb, someone would have pointed out the right one. If it were all a lie, someone could easily have presented Jesus' body. And yet no one ever claimed to have it. You'd think someone would have stepped forward if it were all a hoax. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And because Christ rose from the dead, we also will rise as well. We know that Jesus says in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. We also will rise because Christ is risen from the dead. 2,000 years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, 500 years after the start of the Reformation, and still here we are, still confessing the gospel truth that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Scripture alone, by Christ alone. Still acknowledging the crucifixion, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Still placing our faith in Christ alone for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. Still anticipating that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we also will rise. This is the solid, firm foundation of our faith. This is what gets us out of bed on a Sunday morning to gather in His sanctuary, to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, to hear God's word read, and to receive His gifts in the sacrament. This foundation has withstood the test of time for generations, and it will continue to stand long after we are all in the ground awaiting the resurrection. Why? Because in the words of Luther's most famous hymn, God's word forever shall abide, the kingdom's ours forever. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.